Turning to page four, we've got Senate Bill 398. This prohibits a municipality from restricting a homeowner from getting solar panels installed on their house. In a previous session, there had been a bill that prohibited a property owner association, like an HOA, from restricting an owner to put solar panels on their house. This appears to bring municipal regulation in line with what an HOA is forbidden to do. This also adds a new Chapter 113 to the Business and Commerce Code regarding, quote, sales and leasing of distributed renewable generation resources. And so for some context on that, solar leases, leasing of solar panels has become pretty common in California and Arizona, where a homeowner won't actually buy the solar panels being installed on their roof. Instead, they'll lease it from a company like Sunrun, Sunnova, Tesla, I think Vivint, although they're part of Sunrun now, and will sign like a 20-year lease for the panels, and the panels remain the personal property of the company that owns them. This new Chapter 113 contains a number of disclosures that, in my review of it, appeared similar to what we see in California and Arizona. If you want more depth on that, I invite you to take a closer look into this chapter, but from what I can gather in my read on it is that it makes it so that solar lessors will be a little more comfortable operating in Texas, that our regulatory environment is similar to Arizona and California. Most folks from out of state are just aware that we have peculiar homestead laws, and so that can scare people off, but this keeps the environment similar. One friends and neighbor type question that we might start getting is that a provision in this allows certain persons with solar panels to sell power back onto the grid in some circumstances. And there are a bunch of technical requirements to be able to do that that are beyond what I can dive into. I would just suggest that we may start getting questions in the next few years that, hey, I got solar panels on my house. Can I sell this power back onto the grid if it's producing excess? And this bill will give us some answers. It appears to be pretty limitedly targeted, so the answer is probably no if they're in a city, but that's going to be something that we will see over the next few years. This took effect September 1st, 2021. Also on page four, we got Senate Bill 291. This is what I call the Neighborhood Complaint Hotline Bill. A developer must visibly post the name and contact information of the developer and a brief description of the construction project as soon as practicable after the beginning of the construction of a project. As you all know, Houston does not have a master zoning plan. I live in a neighborhood where you will see high-rise apartments built next to townhomes, built next to single-family homes. One of the pastimes of some of the people I know here in the neighborhood is to complain about any construction project that's going on. Now the developers are going to have to give them a phone number to call. So if you have developer clients in the commercial realm, get them ready for that. This is effective September 1st, 2021. Turning to page seven of the report, we've got House Bill 2416. This adds a new section 38.0015 of the Civil Practices and Remedies Code to allow for recovery of reasonable attorney's fees and compensatory damages for breach of a construction contract. I suspect this was added because a lot of construction contracts would have been prepared by the contractor, and the contractor most likely, if they were contacting any of us as counsel, would exclude the ability of their counterparty to recover attorney's fees. This should give a statutory provision for homeowners or smaller parties to recover fees and could incentivize contractors to actually negotiate on smaller level disputes. I think that's where these fee provisions really help. That's effective September 1st, 2021. Going to page eight, we've got House Bill 2116. This adds section 130.002 to the Civil Practices and Remedies Code, making an indemnity agreement from an architect or engineer to an owner that covers the owner's own negligence unenforceable. It also allows an owner to recover attorney's fees in proportion to the engineer's or architect's liability. It does not apply to design build contracts. And the owner can require the architect or engineer to name the owner as an additional insured under an insurance policy to the extent that's allowed by the insurer, as far as I can tell. One thing I found really neat about this bill is, like Senate Bill 219 on page 3 of the report, this bill also added a new section 130.0021 to the Texas Civil Practices and Remedies Code on an engineer or architect standard of care. Happily for us, it appears to be word for word the same as the other bill, but these are the kinds of things that will our legislature will do for us, is they will pass, have two bills that pass identical section numbers. And in some cases, the sections won't have language that's all the same. So that's something that we have to watch out for every 2 years. That bill was effective September 1st, 2021.